Everybody to our Harvest Sunday this morning. Oh, come and put your hands together for Jesus. Do we have anybody that is here this morning for the first time? Can I see your hand? You are visiting us for the first time. Praise the Lord. Come on, celebrate them. Celebrate Jesus for all these souls. Glory be to Jesus. You are welcome. And I trust and believe that you're going to have a good time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, I would like to have a brief meeting at the end of the service with all the fruitful believers. If you know that you are a fruitful believer, meaning you've moved from new believers and you've had a strong Christian camp, or you've gone through NBS, and ever since then, you don't know what to do next. You don't know what is the next step to take. I would like to have a meeting with us after everybody is gone. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage all my choir members. Last week was a bit hectic for us. I understand. We had a bit of misunderstanding in communication. But I was here. And I heard some of you came later. By the time you came, I had locked the doors. Because I thought you were not coming anymore. Praise the Lord. So I apologize for those of you that came after I had locked the door. But I was inside. I just decided to lock the doors so that if you come, you will feel what it is like to... Just say thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for... I'm joking, guys. I didn't know. The ones that I knew about, we apologize. We agree that we are postponing the meeting. Now, I didn't know that there were other people. I was told yesterday that more people came after. I didn't know. I learned about it yesterday at the funeral. Do you understand? So, I didn't know. Praise God. So, please, this Wednesday, we are here. We are not doing choir just for 1 week. We are choir every Wednesday. You must already schedule Wednesday afternoon choir time. It's choir time with Pastor Pascal and Pastor Pumi. We are here for choir. Yes. You must use your gifts. You must sing for Jesus. Every choir member, I told you, even if you are singing like a frog, bring that frog voice here. I will never return you away except it is worse. Like you know, you've reached, there's a certain threshold. If you reach there, no. Even God will not be happy with me. But anything in between, we can manage it. Amen? So when's the choir time here? Bring the bass, bring the soprano, bring the alto, bring the tenor. Let's do the work of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Next week, Sunday, we're going to have a service that I'm calling All Members Service. All members. Next week, Sunday, anybody that is a member of Allah Babe Church is our service. All members service. If you are a member, it's your service. You should make every effort that next week, all members service. There must be a day where we all come together. All of us. Some of you are not very happy about that type of thing. I already think about, hey, what if I'm working? What if you were sick? Were you going to be thinking that what if I'm working? Make a plan. I'm telling you already now so that you can make a plan. All members service. All members. All members. There must be a day where all the members of the body appear. What is this type of body? Every time it appears, one eye is not there. The leg has gone on vacation. The hair, like my hair, it has. Some of you are like my hair. You long gone. Amen. Yo. Medieval. But all the members, let this young man stand up. Is this people? Wow. The hair is there. The ears are there. All the members of the body. Walk, sir. Walk, walk. Walk, walk. All members. Doesn't it look nice when all the members are there? I'm asking you, doesn't it look nice when all the members are there? Imagine if he appears now, the nose has gone on holidays. One ear has disappeared. I mean, some teeth have gone to boxing and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't look good. Amen. All, tell your neighbor, all members, all members, all members, all members service. It's an all members service. Our choir next week will start from here today. Why? Why? Because all members, our dancing stars will start from there today because all members, all members. Join in it. Tell you, see, you are a member of ABC Kalanyone. Next week, Sunday, all member service. You can't miss it. You are a member. Are you a member? Aha, 29th of May, election. If you are ANC member, you cannot start saying, no, no, me, I don't vote on 29th. You will come there because all members are voting on that day. On the 29th, all members are voting. On the 25th, all members of ABC will be here. Because on the 29th, all members are voting. Why must they do all members? Me, I don't do all members on my side. I'm also doing all members on the 25th. Amen. Let's see what God can do. Next week, I will know the members. Next week, I'm going to know the members. If I see you next week, I know you are a member. If I don't see, I know, you are telling me, Pastor, you know what? I didn't know how to tell you, but I used that opportunity of all members to just make you aware that, as you see me like this, I'm not a member. I'm a visitor. I'm a professional visitor. I'm a family friend. But I'm not a member. Deal with it, Pastor, deal with it. I'm not a member. All member service. Next week, the hair must be there. The head must be there. The nose, the ears must be there. The neck must be there. The shoulders must be there. The hands must be there. Right hand, left hand. Everything must be there next week. All members. It's powerful. Thank you, sir. God bless you. You are not clapping properly. It's like you're not enjoying that. All members. So during the week, I want to see all the cell leaders, all the leaders of the church. We are meeting after the service. After my meeting with the fruitful believers, I'm meeting you guys so that we can plan it nicely. You see, the government has been preparing elections for years for the 29th. We are going to prepare in a week for all member service. And it's going to be a blessing to be here next week. All members service. Swelling sand, I tell you. Amen? Now, I'm teaching this morning on a subject I have titled, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that heals us, that builds us up, that changes us. Father, right now, I surrender myself to you. I invite your presence to be with us in this service, Lord. Be glorified in everything we're going to say and do. Touch somebody's heart. Change somebody's life by your mighty Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your presence that is here with us. Give us understanding in the Word. Cause us to be changed by the Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Would you help me tell the person next to you, Jesus is the answer. That's the theme of my message this morning. Jesus is the answer. Now, I want you to note, I'm not saying Jesus has the answer. I'm saying Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. I used to be a fan of movies years ago. I'm no more such a fan. Now I watch a movie. Usually I only watch movies on Sunday's night. Like I can watch one movie. That's the only day when I'm done with my day and everything. Maybe I can watch one movie. Sundays. But back in the day when I used to watch movies much, every movie was always about somebody saving other people. I don't know if you've ever watched The Man Called Bruce Lee. No, look. By the time he started doing like this, no, you know an answer has come for somebody. You know that a problem is about to be solved. Another one is called Rambo. My God. Rambo. He can drive cars. He can drive trucks. He can drive boats. He can drive planes. He can kill you with a stick. He can make a bomb in your kitchen. You see, the guy is a solution. He's an answer. When he appears, like if they are fighting you, and by mistake, Rambo comes. You start, you say, yo, no, come again, come again, come again. If they were fighting you, and by mistake, Rambo came, you know you are sorted. Sunday school, depending on how many kids, I want only one person there. Everybody else comes back inside. Hotel. Only one person. If there are many, two at most, everybody else must come inside. Now, there is another one. Arnold Schwarzenegger. You guys, you never watch movies there. You don't know these people I'm talking about. You're like, you're very surprised. He's got a movie called Terminator. He has a particular gun. If he shoots the head, the head goes two parts. Like it opens it. Coffins that it takes 8 people to carry a coffin. He carries one by himself. He put it here and he's shooting everybody as he's moving around. Hey! Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris. That's another mind boggler. If you are having hostages and you hear that Chuck Norris is coming, you yourself, you know that you are finished. I mean, no matter where you hide, Chuck Norris will find you. Jet Li. Oh! Hey! Jet Li! My God! Oh! Imagine you are being fought by some hijackers in the corner of the of Kutong, or maybe some angel Li appears. Yeah! The people that were hijacking you will give you money that they had. The money they had themselves. If they had any money, they'll say, you know what? We made them take the money. We wanted to take your money, but we are not giving you money. All these people seem to have solutions. And we enjoy those movies because every time one of them appears, Spider-Man. Batman. Superman. You guys, which generation do you belong to? Like, I don't understand these people. Guys, Superman, Spider-Man, Tarzan, Iron Man, Wonder Woman, Catwoman. All these people are mentioning, if they appear, people disappear. Problems disappear. And we love the movies. When you see a movie where Spider-Man, Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man 4, you know that there'll be action. There'll be some saving. There'll be good things. There'll be answers. There's only one problem with all these big actors that I'm mentioning. They can only solve our problems in a movie. Do you understand? You cannot meet Spider-Man in real life and maybe a car is about to hit you and Spider-Man actually in real life, he pulls you and you are flying somewhere with him. In real life, they don't have solutions. They become just like you and me. Helpless. Rambo. The muscles that you see in the movie, in real life, those muscles are not there. The ends are normal. The things that Jackie Chan is doing in those movies, I don't think he can do them in real life. So they are good problem solvers in movies. Are you living in a movie? Are you living in a movie? Mpo, are you living in a movie? We are living in real life. And that's why those movies, you watch a movie, you'll be so happy. After the movie, your reality comes and meets you. And you are again in the same problem. Jackie Chan can't help you. In fact, in your dreams, you are traumatized because of some stuff you saw in that movie. But I've got some good news for you. You see, I'm going to tell you about someone this morning. This person I'm about to tell you about, he doesn't solve problems in movies. No. Real life problems. Real issues that you even came here with this morning. The person that I'm calling Jesus Christ is the answer to every question that you have in your heart right now. Somebody here is asking the question, how long will this continue? Jesus is the answer. How long am I going to wait? Jesus is the answer. For how long will I put up with this? When will this thing change? Every day I wake up to the same reality. Every day I see the same thing in front of me. When will this thing change? These questions that don't seem to have an answer are the ones I want us to explore this morning. And I'm going to introduce you not to a man who has the solutions. I'm going to introduce you to the solution. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. I shared this story at the cell in Rustenburg during the week. You know, last week when I was driving to cell on Thursday, I found myself in the street and there was a bucket in front of me. Are you listening to me? There was a bucket in front of me. And in that bucket, there were three guys that were sitting. It's a very small bucket. You know the small bucket, not the big one. Very small bucket. That's right. Three of them were squashed there like this. In front, the driver, and I think another three or two on the side there like that. They are all there like this. It's getting late and it's getting dark and it's cold. What stacks there inside? I don't know where they were coming from. But it looked like they were working somewhere. And they had finished their shift. Now they were going, and maybe the driver of the back end needed to drop each one in their respective places. I look at these brothers of mine in the back. They are there. I see people in the back all the time, but for the first time in my life, my attention was drawn to those guys, especially the three guys that were sitting at the back of the back. And I noticed I am driving alone in my car by myself. I have a lot of comfort in my car. There's plenty space in my car. But there are three guys that are stacked up behind the back. And for them, it's heaven. Like, I mean, even though it's cold and it's difficult, but it's better for them than walking from wherever they finish the work to go to where. Like, they are feeling that it's nice. I ask myself, what is the difference between me and these three guys behind the back? What is the difference? I'm a man, they are men. I have a body, they have a body. We are the same. What is the difference? Why is it that three of them are fighting for small space inside the back? And I am by myself in a big car with plenty of space. What has caused me to be here and them to be there? What is going on here? They need the space in my car, but they don't have it. I ask myself, what led to this? Why am I here? And why are they there? You know, you might think, Pastor, I think you went to school. You'll be shocked that somebody in that backy, somebody sitting in that backy, went to a better school than me. Pastor, you know what, Pastor, I think, you know, you had somebody who helped you. You'll be shocked that those guys sitting in the back, they have brothers that are in high places sitting somewhere. That you'll be very surprised. I couldn't use anything to explain why I am alone in the car and three of my brothers are sitting in the back gasping for air. I could only have one answer. I said, I think it's Jesus. I think it's Jesus, because I can't say anything else. I am where I am because of Jesus. And maybe they are where they are because they don't have Jesus the way I have Jesus. Because it's not about the schools. There are free school, free education in South Africa. Everything is free here. It's not about that. Maybe the only thing that is making a difference between me and them is that maybe I took Jesus more seriously than they did. I'm talking to myself. The only explanation could be that maybe I took Jesus very seriously. And they took Jesus as some history figure that was around and it doesn't mean anything to them. So I just sit there and ask myself, does Jesus mean anything for these three guys? Because Jesus means everything to me. So maybe the answer to my question is Jesus. It's Jesus. That's the only question. Jesus. That he made the difference in my life. And Jesus going to make a difference in somebody's life here. It's going to make a difference. Can we read the word? We will not have a lot of time to read a lot, but I'm just going to show you a few things. Romans chapter 7 from verse 18. Now, who wrote the book of Romans? Paul the Apostle. You must understand something. Paul is a smart guy, very smart. went to school, studied, well-versed in scriptures, well-trained and developed. But I'm shocked by what Paul is about to say. And I guess you and I will relate very well if we are honest with ourselves. Paul says, number one, I know that nothing good lives in me. I'm not saying there are no good things on you. Could be having a nice dress right now. Paul was not very concerned about what was on him. Paul was concerned about what was in him. And he came to the conclusion that there's nothing good. I mean, some of us are saying, no, I think some things are bad, but some things are also good. A few things could be bad, but a number of things are also good. Paul says, nothing good is in me. Your journey begins here when you can realize that there's nothing good in you. Talk to me, church. We see the problem we have is that we think we are good. And we feel that life is being unfair on us. We will feel that we are better than what we are. I mean, we deserve better than what we are getting. And why are we feeling that way? Because we look at ourselves and we feel, I've done a few good things. I'm a good person. I don't understand why my things keep going this way. I don't understand. I mean, what is this? I'm a good person. I try to live right. I try to do right. I try to do everything that is asked of me. Why are my things still going this way? I'm here this morning to give the answer. And I will be posing the questions that are inside of us. Real questions that everybody here asks themselves all the time. Why do bad things happen to good people like me? Why? I've been a good person. Paul starts by saying, I know that nothing good lives in me. Nothing good. Nothing good lives in me. Is that how you see yourself? Huh. When Paul is writing to the Romans, he's already an apostle. Come and talk to me. I mean, this is an apostle called by God, appointed by God. He saw Jesus Christ. He has received the Holy Spirit. He's writing the book of Romans, not as a pagan. He's writing the book of Romans as an apostle of Jesus Christ. But Paul is saying, there is nothing good that lives in me. There's nothing good in me. There's nothing good in me. You start finding the answer when you start agreeing with that statement first. Because until then, it will be an argument. Okay, but I did this, but why? But why? Uh-huh, but I mean, I understand, Pastor, but why? This one. You see, you will always have arguments because as far as you are concerned, you are not that bad. 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 But Paul is saying, as an apostle, my sister, he's saying, there's nothing good in me. Not on me. A lot of, your hair is nice. Your duku is nice. A lot of good things are on you. But that's not the deal. The deal is in you. In you. Not on you. In you. In you. Mark 7:21. I'll come back. Yeah. Jesus himself now is talking. Are you with me?
Oh,
yes. He says, from where? From where? Ah, come on, church. You can read now. From where?
From within.
From within. Out of men's heart. Eh? Deeper. Inside of you. These are things nobody sees on you. They are within. 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 The temple Paul is saying, in me, there's nothing good. There's nothing good in me. Because Jesus is going to help you understand what Paul is saying. He said, from within you, from within you, out of your heart, the first thing that comes, evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Who here doesn't have evil thoughts? Even from the moment you enter the church today until now, as you are standing here, the type of thoughts you've had already, they are enough to get you in jail for 20 years. The type of thoughts that have crossed your mind from the moment you entered here until now. Only Jesus Christ and the holy angels and a few spiritual people have an idea of what is going on. Evil thoughts comes from within. Sexual immorality comes from within. There's nobody here that doesn't have immoral sexual thoughts. I said there's nobody. Even the magogos and the rawaners, everybody, look, don't start with me. I'm telling you, all the rawaners, all the madalas and the magogos, maybe the body is tired, but the mind is not tired. The mind is still active. The mind is still moving. Some of us, depending on how bad you were when you were young, your mind is still wild. No, I'm saying this not to attack all of us. I'm just saying, you see, for example, the older I get, the more respectable I look. Do you understand? Like, if you see me, you say, hey. Daddy. So, and it is right to respect the elderly. But don't confuse elderly with holiness. Elder doesn't mean holy. An elder person can still have evil thoughts and sexual thoughts. Just like, don't consider young meaning you are pure or whatever. No. From within. From within comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, death. Remember, these are all thoughts. These are all the evil thoughts that are coming from within. Do you understand? They are all the evil thoughts, sex. So those things that are from within, what are the evil thoughts? The evil thoughts about what? Sexual immorality. Stealing. But you might not steal, but you think about it. Yeah. You will see a nice iPhone 15, and you say, yo, you know, I can just. Then you bring yourself back. Hey, please. Murder. You could be sitting here, you've thought of killing different people. And you've thought of ways to killing them. And then as you are sitting here looking very nice, you've killed a few people. Do you get it? Adultery. You look at another man's husband. And you say, yo, I thank God for salvation. If it wasn't for salvation, I was going to do something here now that even... Look, Even my grandchildren were going to say, well done, granny, well done, well done, well done. If it wasn't for salvation and the blood of Jesus, I thank God for salvation. They said that there are brothers here that if it's not for salvation, even me, I should be anointing my wife with oil every day because she's standing on this stage. And I don't know if everybody that is looking at my wife, they are just saying, oh, we thank God for the Holy Spirit. Some of the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit at all. It's not. Are you with me, church? I say, are you with me? Adultery. 22. Check it. Greed. You are always after other people's things. Malice. You know what is malice? Wickedness. Like you have evil wishes for others. That's malice. Deceit. Talking about lying, deceiving people. Lewdness. This is sexual, like you are sexually pervert. Like you, the type of sexual things that you are doing, they are offensive. Do you understand? That you are offensive in your sexuality. You dress in a sexually offensive way. You talk in a sexual, like, by the time you are done talking, people are not happy. The way you, just the way you describe things, and the way you are dressed, it's sexually offensive. That's lewdness. Envy, which is jealousy. Everybody here, I mean, I'm mentioning this thing. Jesus said these things are from within. They come from within us. Slander, which is gossip. Arrogance and folly. This is from within. So when Paul says, nothing good lives in me. How many of you can, we can all agree with Paul. Paul, you know what? You are right. Even in me, nothing good lives in me. Put your hands together for Jesus. But Jesus is the answer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Back to our book in the book of Romans 7. We're almost done for the day. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. Amen. I want to do what is right. But I can't. Who identifies with Paul here? Hey, how many times I've tried? Yo, I want to do what is right with all my heart. Do I have a witness that I want to do it? That is what I want. Like if you open my heart, what I want to do the right thing. So Muruti, you were saying that we must do what is right. I want to do what is right. The problem is not doing the right thing. The problem, I can't. I want to do it, but I can't. I'm talking to myself, I tell you. I want to do it, but I can't. Do I have a witness that I actually want to do it, but I can't. I can't. The good news is you are not the only one. Paul is saying to you, he also can't. He's been trying. But he can't. Some of us, you want to stop lying. Because sometimes you lie for no reason. Like, nothing will happen to you if you speak the truth, but you still lie. Like, even when there's no danger, you still lie. Like, you've reached a stage where you lie for a living. Yeah, you just enjoy. Like, you can't help yourself. You just have to lie. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Oh, Paul, you are speaking my heart. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. I want to do what is good. But I don't. Tim Kulu, I want to do what is good. But I end up not doing it. I don't. Now, I don't want to do what is wrong. But that's the thing I end up doing fully all the time. Do I have a witness this morning that the thing I don't want to do, that's the one. Can I tell you what I have discovered? I want to tell you my discovery. I have discovered that you see those bad things that you don't like doing, they are the ones that are easier to do. And sometimes they are nicer. Like that, they seem like they are the nicer one. They are the easier one. Like they are just calling you. The good ones, they are hard. They are difficult. The bad ones, easy. Easy. And it's available. Like it's. You don't need a lot of discipline to find a bad thing to do. Do you need to go to school to find a bad thing to do? I mean, it's just there. It's available. Saye. It's available. I do it anyway, every day. I keep doing it. Are you with me? Look at the next line. Look at the next line. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. It's not, I said now. I'm not the one. Bakolo. I said nah. It's not me. I am not really, like you said that really. Say that if you check deeper. If you check deeper, I'm not really the one because now I don't want to do it. Bakolo, let's talk together. Let's talk. I mean, I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it. So something is wrong. I don't want to do this thing. I keep doing it. I'd say, nah, it's not me. It's not really me, the one doing wrong. So who is doing wrong? It is sin. Living in me that does it. There is sin that is living in me. I think I'm alone, but I'm not alone, my brother. There's another power that is living in me, and it is doing things that I don't want to do. There's something living in me. I told myself, the next time a sister buys stilettos and I see them, I will just say, sister, God bless you. Those are very nice shoes. I thank God for your life. I will be happy for her, for the stilettos. Until I saw the stilettos. As soon as I saw them, I don't know what happened. I became angry. I became jealous. And I felt, why? This sister is not speaking tongues. She doesn't know John 3:16. She can't quote John 3:16. I know John 3:16 and 17. I pray in tongues for 1 hour. Why am I not wearing the stilettos? She's wearing the stilettos. But then you realize, hey! I told myself, I was not going to do it. I was not going to be jealous. But here am I. Full of jealousy again. Oh, my brother, my sister, I've got some news for you. It is not really you. It is not really you doing those things. It is not really you. The Bible says it is sin living in you. There's sin in us. There's sin. I'm talking to somebody here. There's sin. Look at the next line, 21. I have discovered this principle of life. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I'm seeing it's already real. I mean, it's clear. 22. I love God's law with all my heart. Do I have God lovers in the church this morning? People that love God. I love you, Jesus. He said, I love God's law with all my heart. I don't mind. I don't have a problem with God. But look at verse 23. But there is another power. Do you understand? I love God with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Evil thoughts, evil thoughts, evil thoughts, evil thoughts, evil thoughts. There's another war. I said there's another war inside of me. There's another war. I love God, but there's another war in my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. It makes me a slave. It makes me a slave. Do you know what it means to be a slave? You've lost your will, sir. You don't have a will of your own. And that's what he's trying to say from the beginning. That I want to do this, but I end up doing this. I want to do this, but I end up doing this. A slave doesn't have a will of his own. A slave doesn't have a will. A slave does what he's told by the master. He doesn't have a will. She doesn't have a will. You guys will remember back in the day when we were in slavery. I mean, you do what you are told to do. You don't have a will. The thing that makes you a slave is not that you are not, you don't have a will. You don't have a will. Are you with me? John 8 verse 34. We are almost done. We are almost done. John 8:34. Some people don't want to go home. They want to stay here for the whole day. Praise the Lord. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Sin makes you a slave. So the thing you think you are enjoying, and this is how it starts. I think I shared that here at NBS. You guys that don't come for my NBS class, you are missing out on a lot of things. You see, when you hear NBS, you are thinking it's just, there's more that I teach you on Tuesday than just NBS. It's a lot of things that I teach here. This past Tuesday, I was showing them something. You see, when sin comes to you, it comes and it tells you, look, you can stop at any time. Like, you can stop at any time. And that is what disarms you from resisting. Because when I say to you, here's the subscription, but you can cancel it anytime. I have broken your resistance. From that moment, you feel you are in power. You feel that okay, so if I can cancel it at any time, so I might as well just, I can just accept it because I know that if I'm no more happy, I can cancel it at any time. Am I making sense to you guys? This is what we do. So we know, this is why we enter things. Because you are told, oh no, you can cancel at any time. The moment you hear, you can cancel at any time, you feel you still have control, I can decide, okay, so if I'm no more happy with the thing, I can stop it. So when Satan comes to you with something, he sees you are resisting it. He says to you quickly, but moment you are no more enjoying it, you can stop. And when that thought hits you, you say, hey, but it's true. Okay, so I'm just going to try it, but if I'm not happy, like if it goes the way I don't want it to go anymore, I'll stop it. I'll just stop it. If I sense the thing is no more going the way I wanted it to go, I'll stop it. And that's how you break your resistance and you start. You start with the thinking, if it goes wrong, I will stop. I will block it. Because you are thinking, you will be in control. But what you and I don't understand is that sin turns into your master and you become a slave. But initially, you think you will have control. So when you start here. Then you come here. By the time you hear, they say, no. I don't like this. I'm out. Then you come here. Then you say, yeah, I came out. I came out. Do you know, he said, you see, I told you, you can come out. So, just go again. If you are not happy, you come out. Then you come again. You come again. This time, I assure you, you will not stop here. I say you will not stop here. You will come here. Because you are thinking, I can stop. I can cancel it. And I say, I managed there. So let me actually check here and see. By the time you are here, now, your thoughts are beginning to change. You are no more having those thoughts of canceling it. You are beginning to think, what? Is there a better way I could do this without doing that one? You are now in. You are no more thinking of canceling. Because you are beginning to enjoy what you are doing. But you are feeling guilty, so you want to know, is there another way I could just do it so that it doesn't look so bad? Yeah, you start to justify yourself. You are now here. When you get here, you realize, no. This is not right. I'm not enjoying this. I want to come out. There's something turns you back. Say, come here. No, I don't want to do this. I told you. You told me that if I don't want, I can come out. I was lying to you. Who told you that you can come out? You are not coming out. You are coming with me. Sin, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of the sin. You become a slave. And many people enter slavery with their thinking they will come out if they want to. You were told if you don't want, you can stop. Now you want to stop, but you are not stopping. You become like Paul. I don't want to do it, but I still do it. I want to stop doing it, but I'm still doing it. Then the thing has turned into a slave master situation. You are asking me, Pastor, why are you telling me this story? Can I tell you why I'm telling you this story? Because of where I'm going. Let's go back quickly and finish. There's a power within me that is at war with my mind. I've got a mental fight. I say, I'm coming out. But he said, you need this. You need this. You cannot do without this. You need this. It's necessary. I'm stuck inside. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is within me. I'm now stuck in this thing. Torn apart. This is where we become frustrated. We start cutting ourselves. We start piercing ourselves. We start hating ourselves. We start becoming bitter. We punish ourselves because we feel we've let ourselves down. This is where we sink into deeper things. Depression. We sink into alcohol. We sink into sexual sin deeper. We start punishing ourselves. We sink into eating disorders. In a response to this problem that is here. I want to stop something that doesn't want to let me go. It gets evil. It gets dark. you start asking yourself, am I going to be like this all my life? Is that how my life is going to be? Then you start asking yourself the question I was asking at the beginning. Is this how my life is going to be? Is this how I'm going to end my life? You mean this is what my life is going to be? This is how my children's children will remember their grandmother? Is this who I want to be? This is the legacy I'm leaving behind. Is this the life I want? You start asking yourself those questions. You ask yourself questions like, when will this stop? When will I come out of this? You start asking yourself a lot of questions. And you don't have answers. You don't have answers. When will I stop this thing? When will I be free from this thing? Man, look at verse 24. This is that what hits me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who will free me from this? How will I come out of this thing? I'm trapped in those thoughts that I showed you now. The thoughts of stealing, the thoughts of drinking, the thoughts of this. I'm trapped in those things. I keep going back. I'm trapped. Who will free me from this? Who will get me out of this? Can I come out of this? Can I tell you something? I'm telling you this because I understood those three guys. A lot of them want to do what is right. But just like Paul, they can't stop. And the more they're unable to stop, the more their life is going this way. Oh, there's one of those guys. One day in the school, somebody showed him Yaope. And he thought he could stop anytime. He was doing grade 10. And he was told, no, I mean, if you don't like it, you can drop it. He started smoking Yaope. By the time he wants to stop Nyaope, because now he's unable to attend the classes, he can't stop. And do you see that how slowly but surely his destiny is beginning to go towards the back of the baki? Do you see how little by little he is making his way to the back of the baki? Not entirely because he wants to. He can't stop. I want you to understand that he can't stop. He's trying to, but he can't. He has become a slave. The thing is now pulling him or her this side. And by the time they realize, they are at the back of a buggy. There's a young man I was talking to one day. I said to him, my brother, I'm not a prophet of doom. But if you don't stop what you are doing, one day you'll be sleeping under a bridge as your house. And he hated me. He went and told his father. You said, this man is a pastor. Look at what he's saying. He says that he cursed me. He says that I'm gonna end up a homeless man sleeping under a bridge. Yes, I didn't curse you. The decisions you are making right now. Do you think the people that are sleeping under the bridges in town here chose that life when they were in school? Do you think that's what they wanted? No, they didn't want that. They didn't want that life. Nobody wakes up in the morning to say, I'm going to end up sleeping under a bridge. Or I'm going to have a mattress. You see those pavement by the road? I'm going to have a mattress there. So if you go to Pretoria, you find plenty of those things everywhere. Under the bridges, under this, under that. Do you really think that's what people wanted? No. The decisions that you started making, thinking you can stop. And before you realize, you discovered you can't stop. And every step is taking you this side. You are going this way. Slowly. You are going this way. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? Paul says, what a miserable person I am. I can already see that my life is going to end in misery. Who will free me from this life? Oh, at the stage of your life, you'll ask yourself this question. You'll ask yourself questions. Questions. How will this stop? Who will get me out of this? How can this thing change? When will this stop? You will start asking questions without answers. But now, verse 25. Look at it. Thank God. The answer. Is in Jesus, not with Jesus. The answer is in Jesus. That's why my message this morning is Jesus is. Do you understand? All those questions you have, you are confused. You are now in a place where you don't know what's going to happen next. Jesus is the answer. Yeah, Jesus is the answer. That's why I concluded. I think I'm in this car and they are in that backy. Jesus is the answer. Like, there's nothing else that can justify where I am and where they are. It's just that Jesus has come and Jesus started helping me to defeat this voice. Jesus came and he gave me power over sin. Over sin. The only thing that responds to, that sin responds to, is Jesus. Nothing else. There's nothing you can bring that will do anything to sin. Sin is not a respecter of your education. Sin is not a respecter of your friends. Sin is not a respecter of your training. Sin only respects the blood of Jesus. If you can learn to bring the blood of Jesus in the things, the blood of Jesus, that's the only thing that sin responds to. And if sin remains your master, it's going to kill you. And nothing can stop sin except Jesus. I say, except Jesus. Except Jesus. So he says in the book of John 8, verse 36, if the Son makes you free, Not if you go to a special training and they say to you, when you feel like this, do like this. When you feel like this, drink this. That's not freedom. It's another bondage into pills and medication. If the Son sets you free from that thing, you will be free indeed. Like, your freedom will be perfect. And Jesus is going to set people free here this morning. Jesus is going to set people free here this morning. John 4:14, we are closing. John 4:14, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. He says, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. Start from verse 13. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. In other words, the water of the world, the system of the world, the solutions of the world, you will get them now. Next week, you are back to square one. You try again. Next week, you are back to square one. It says, if you drink of that water, you will be thirsty again. You are thinking, no, all I need is this. If I can have this, my problems will be solved. You get the thing, you are happy for 2 days. After that, back to square one. And you start again, you are looking again. You're like, oh no, if I can get a job, I'll be fine. You get a job, after a week of work, back again. So you keep feeling, if I can get this, if I could only get this, if I could only have this, if I could only get this, if this person could, you're thinking that those things will bring the solution. But you get them, you are still in problem. Whoever drinks of this water will become thirsty again. But verse 14, but those who drink the water I give will never thirst again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. That the life doesn't finish. The life doesn't finish. The life doesn't finish. It's continuous. It's a spring. It's a spring inside of you. Jesus gives you life eternal. Why are we going for the bottle? We are trying to find fulfillment, but we never find it. Show me a person that became so satisfied for drinking, for smoking. You keep going for the next cigarette. You keep going for the next bottle. You are keep being told, no, if you drink again, you'll be fine. And you keep drinking. And you don't get fine. And you drink more. Ah. Show me a girl who's been going from man to man and who became satisfied. You can never be satisfied. Because he's not intending to satisfy you. He's enslaving you. The only satisfaction comes from Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can satisfy. I say only Jesus. Only Jesus can satisfy. Yeah, but Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus. But you didn't give your life to Jesus with this understanding. You gave your life to Jesus because you didn't want to go to hell. You didn't give your life to Jesus understanding that he is the only one that can make you stop doing what you are doing right now. That there's no other solution. There's no other solution. Only Jesus can make you stop it. Or you will come here to church, you will promise yourself, I'm not going to his house again. It's the last time. This is the last time I'm going there. Today, Father, I'm making a covenant with you. If I go there again, kill me. The same evening, you are there. You even forget. You forget that you said it. You go there. They say, Lord, ish, you remember that thing I said? Can we push it to next week? Just give one last week. If you just let me this last week, after this week, I'm done. Now I'm done. I'm done. Then next week, you say, Lord, ish, I forgot that he didn't do this. Push one more week. Then this time, I'm done. They say, like, done. Last. You keep pushing. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Put your hands together for Jesus. Matthew 28 verse 11 as I close. Look at it. Are you blessed? So Jesus said, not your president said, they can't talk like this. No human being can talk like this. Come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I don't know one person that can call people with problems to come to them. Do you know one person that does that? No, but we call people that don't have problems. Do you understand? Like when I said to you, come, I check you, I said that you don't have a problem. No, come. You won't be a problem to me. We don't call people with problems to come. That's why you don't make friends with people that are broke. You don't make friends with people that have a lot of problems. That you check the person, you say, no, this one. I think he will finish my money. Yeah. This one, he will finish my airtime. This one, she doesn't have airtime. No, I can't. That's why you don't make friends with people that have problems. The reason why you don't have friends that are rich, because they also don't want, you see, the problem is that they also don't want you, because when they look at you, they see that you are a problem. You see, because you are thinking, but how come I don't have a lot of rich friends? The problem is not with you. You would love to have them. They are checking their balances and they see that if they are friends with you, it will not be nice for them. Am I talking the truth in this church? But they don't want to associate with you. They don't want to associate with you. Because before you realize that you'll be start texting them, you want 5 rent, you want 5,000, you want this, you want that. They don't need that. They take you to a bar to drink. You say, you know what? Just buy one bottle. The other money, give me. give me the other money. And then they ask why. They say, there's no bread at home. When I'm drinking here, I'm thinking about a lot of problems. So just, Akira, you wanted to buy me 5 bottles. Buy one. I drink small. The other 4, just give me the money. I'm going to buy bread. You said they realize that no, this is the wrong person. I want you to drink and not think about yourself. So they start avoiding you. Do you get it? But there is a man. There's a man that is looking for people, not just with problems, big problems. That he is standing here and he is saying, I don't want people without problems. If you don't have a problem, go. People that have big, heavy burdens. Heavy burdens. Heavy. Not just burdens. Heavy. I don't know any president of any country that can stand on a day for a speech and say, my fellow South Africans, all of you that are weary, come with your heavy burdens. They will speak like that for campaigning. Yeah. After that, they say, I didn't write that speech. Somebody was writing those things. I was just reading them. Yeah. But I know those things don't happen in South Africa. They happen in other countries. In South Africa, what we say, we do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Everything we say in South Africa, we do. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary. Meaning you are tired. Anybody tired? You are tired of promising, I'm stopping next week. You are tired. I get tired. I'm weary of this thing. I'm tired of disappointing myself. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. It's enough. So I'm weary. And I'm still carrying these heavy burdens. There's somebody who is calling you. He says, come. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. As I close the bathroom again, he said, Jesus, this one, help me with the beer. This one, let it be the last one. He smoked it, and it was the last one. I'm not saying this morning it is a formula, but I'm saying to you, he went to Jesus. He was not talking to a friend. Jesus knows exactly how to make you stop what you are doing. If you can start coming to him. Don't just come to Jesus to say thank you for the good day. Come to Jesus. Jesus, this is the heavy burden. Jesus, this is the Lord. Help me carry it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody close your eyes and bow your head this morning. Thank you, Father. I give you praise for your word. Just begin to thank God right now for speaking to you today. Can you do that? Just start thanking God for speaking to you this morning. Open your eyes. Close your eyes and start talking to God. Go ahead.
Start talking to him and thanking him. Start talking to him and thanking him. Thank him that he's about to lift up that heavy burden. Thank him that, Jesus, I've brought this heavy burden before you this afternoon. Oh Lord, I'm not going back home with this heavy burden. I'm not going back home as a slave this afternoon. Come on, lift up your voice and pray that, Lord, you are freeing me from my slavery this afternoon. The Bible says in Revelation that he stands at the door of your heart and he is knocking. He's saying, if you can only just open the door, he will come in and enter. Somebody lift up your voice and pray right now and thank him. Thank him that he's lifting up that heavy burden. Thank him that he's lifting up that heavy burden of sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you are lifting up this burden this afternoon. Thank you, Jesus, that you are setting me free this afternoon. The Bible says in John that if the Son sets you free, then you shall be free indeed. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you are setting me free. Come on, anybody that believes that the Lord is setting them free this afternoon, lift up your voice and just thank him and say, Lord, set me free. Lord, set me free. Lord, set me free. Lord, set me free. Paul asked a question. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? Who shall set me free? Then he says in verse 25 that thank God that the answer is in Jesus. This afternoon, Jesus has come. The answer has come for somebody this afternoon. And he has come to answer all questions. He has come to answer all burdens. He has come to give you rest this afternoon. Only if you can align yourself and receive him this afternoon. This is a moment that is just between you and him. He wants you to receive him in your heart. I want you to focus on him right now. With every eye closed and every head bowed, Jesus is here. And Jesus wants to enter somebody's heart. The Bible says the answer is in Jesus. And the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Jesus wants to enter your heart this afternoon. If you are here this afternoon and you know that you want to receive him in your heart, you know that you want him to give you rest from a heavy burden. You want him to lift and to carry that burden for you. He's here this afternoon. And I want you to believe that this service was specially made just for you to encounter and to receive him. If you are here like that this afternoon and you want to receive him in your heart, he wants to give you that opportunity. I'm going to count up to three, and as soon as I reach three, I want you to lift up your right hand boldly. This is a sacred moment between you and him. This is a moment that can change everything about your life. If you are here like that this afternoon, as I count up to three, I want you to lift up your right hand and we are going to pray together. One, two, three. Lift up your right hand. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see all those hands that are rising in this place. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. You can drop your hands. Somebody's also here this afternoon. You've already given your life to him. But maybe you lost your way. Maybe you became a slave to sin along the way. And you lost your deep relationship with him. You no longer have that connection you used to have with him. And you're saying this afternoon, Lord, I want to return back to you. I want to connect with you again. I want to receive you in my heart again. I also want to give you this opportunity. As I count up to three, also lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. One, two, three. Lift up your right hand. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see all those hands. You can drop them. Now I want you to do one more thing for me. If you lifted up your hand for the first and second altar call, just in the same mood, just come to the front and we are going to pray together. Come on, church, let's celebrate them as they come. Jesus says, come to me. Jesus says, come to me. You are not coming to a man, you are coming to Jesus. You are coming to Jesus. Church, let's celebrate them as they come. You are coming to Jesus. You are coming to Jesus. You are coming to receive him in your heart. Church, let's celebrate them. Come on, if you know you lifted up your hand, I want you to come. If you know you lifted up your hand, I want you to still come. Jesus is still ready to receive you. You can still come if you lifted up your hand. I want you to lift up both your hands right now. I want you to know that the hands of Jesus that were open on the cross are still open today to receive you. Lift up both your hands right now. We're going to pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe that you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now, I believe that my sins are forgiven. I am justified by your blood. I am saved. I am restored. I am born again. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that your word is becoming a reality in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you are freeing us from the slavery of sin. Thank you, Lord, that the power that was in us, the power of sin, is being replaced by your power at this very moment. Thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us is being established in your kingdom at this moment. Thank you, Father, that we are becoming written permanently in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for giving us another chance. Thank you, Father, for showing us that it's possible to start again on a clean slate. Thank you, Father, that you are giving us grace to overcome sin. You are giving us grace to have power over sin. Thank you, Father. We return all the glory and praise to you. Let your name be adored and praised and lifted on high. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.